Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti on the updates. This time next week, we will be talking about the NFL draft. Not that we haven't been, but we will have selections to actually tell you about and break down what it means, not just for the teams that took the players, but also the rest of the draft with live coverage throughout, starting when the draft starts a week from tonight. So a week from tonight from the NFL draft, this is always when things ramp up. This is when things get exciting. This is when things they get like annoying and fatiguing, as in, let's figure this out already. We could have done this months ago. Do we know how the Shedeur Sanders workout went? Are there people, Carlos? Do we know how, was it good? I saw a report today that his discussions with the Steelers are not great, but maybe the Giants a little better. What do we know about that?
I actually did not look at all. I didn't hear anything on local radio. I was unplugged today, except for prepping for the show.
Yeah, thank you. I think everybody locally, too, by you in New York, is fake upset about Juan Soto. Is that what's happening over there? That's what it seems to be happening over there.
Yeah, a lot of rage-baiting, clicking-inducing type of content. He goes over five. Everybody losing their freaking minds.
Yeah. I would just say
we're not even at Memorial Day. Like, come on.
well, Juan Soto was 0-for-3 today. Uh-oh. $700 million for what, man? What are we paying for?
How soon can they get rid of that contract? Not we. I don't care. I'm not a Mets fan.
I do enjoy. Somebody asked me this yesterday. They said, how much baseball do you talk about on your show? And I said, well, I think we give it an appropriate amount of discussion, but it is hard because it's a national sport, regionally enjoyed. Not even that, like more hyper-locally enjoyed. Like, I know a lot about the Brewers. I don't know a lot about even the Cubs or the White Sox or the Tigers. So I think a lot of people are that way, where you really focus on your team. And I like to see what kind of stories cut through. And a lot of times, you know, New York, having the population that it does, having two teams, spending a lot of money, having some big personalities, sometimes those stories will pierce through. But it's always got to be like a hyperbolic situation for anything to happen in baseball. It's got to be a hyperbolic situation, like Juan Soto sucks, or Aaron Judge home run tear, or torpedo bat, or Shohei Ohtani deferred contract. Even like Noah hitters don't really get the kind of attention that they used to. I mean, I would remember growing up, if it said on the bottom line, no hitter through seven, that was my night. I had to see if this guy threw a no hitter or not. And that's kind of faded away. Like, there was an incredible achievement in baseball yesterday that I don't think a lot of people know about. Bryce Harper was the number one overall pick in 2010. Jackson Holliday in 2022. Spencer Torkelson in 2020. Mickey Moniak in 2016. And Henry Davis was the number one pick in 2021. They were all number one picks. They all hit home runs on Wednesday. That has happened just six times since the draft began in 65, that five or more former number one picks went yard on the same day. The last time we saw it was 2009, when Pat Burrell, Ken Griffey Jr., Josh Hamilton, Joe Mauer, and Alex Rodriguez all hit home runs. I think that's exciting. I think that's cool. But those kind of things don't always get, because there's so many games. You watch so many a week. So I do like when stories pierce through. And sometimes it's got to be big market fans upset about big time players. So always interested to see what is on the top of mind when it comes to baseball. We have got not much more baseball probably to talk about tonight, maybe. I mean, I'm always down for you to call in about your favorite team and rap a little bit. Going to talk some NBA. Mac Engel's going to join us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Want to figure out what is going on with the Dallas Mavericks. They won their playing game last night on the road. They've got Memphis coming up on Friday. That is for the right to be the 8th seed, for the right to play and lose to the Thunder. You watched this game yesterday. If you're ever somebody that's complained about Taylor Swift being shown too much on TV, the amount that they showed Nico Harrison, the Mavs general manager, blew that out of the water. I was surprised they didn't possibly have a Nico Harrison cam on ESPN2 or ESPNU or something. It was quite obnoxious. That game saw the dismissal of the Sacramento Kings from the postseason. It also saw the dismissal of the Chicago Bulls earlier that night. We saw that when they lost to the Miami Heat. So as the seasons wind down, and we do this in football, baseball, we can look at these teams and say, well, where are they from here? Where do they go from here? The Bulls and the Kings are in kind of a similar, maybe not position for the future. Certainly, they've gotten to a similar point, having these years where it's play-in, you know, maybe some sort of effort at a run that doesn't quite materialize. But they've been trying to figure out just exactly who is going to be able to be a part of their future. And for where the Kings have gotten, I think the Kings have tried to do the right things. They're just not getting the right players. Well, they're kind of tied up with Zach LaVine for a little bit, Domantas Sabonis for a little bit, DeMar DeRozan. They've got some of these guys that they're sort of going to be holding on to. They can't really move too much unless, you find a taker for one of these guys. What they need is more stability in the front office and with the head coach. That's their biggest thing. Again, I don't think this roster is good enough to win a championship. The roster isn't terrible. They've tried to do the things they've tried to do. It's just they've done it worse. It's basically like, okay, look at the cabinet, look for ingredients. Let's have a cook-off. And they consistently have the 9th or 10th best meal in the Western Conference. Maybe they didn't pick the ripest banana. Maybe they didn't pick, you know, the freshest rice. I don't know what kind of meal I'm trying to make here. But they've had, I think, a good idea. They just can't make the right meal. One of the problems with that is they keep changing the chef with the head coach and now dismissing their general manager last night. For the Bulls, it's a question of what do we want to do with this roster, as they've got a lot of guys coming up on expiring contracts, including a guy who they will probably end up paying in Josh Giddey. But they've got Kevin Huerter and Zach Collins and Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu. They got a lot of these guys that have expiring contracts, and they got to figure out what exactly they want to do with that. That makes up a good chunk of their roster. So we'll see how things happen in the offseason for these teams. I don't know that there's any quick fix. We talked a little bit last night about in the NBA, there's not a lot of shock to the system. What the Pistons did this year, from going from very low in the East to then making the playoffs as the 6th seed, that was pretty remarkable. The Thunder have gone upwards, but that's been a clear path we've seen them building towards. The Cavaliers slowly but steady moving upwards as well. We've been seeing that path happen. I think what we've seen with the Phoenix Suns, another team we can talk about, is kind of a quicker, harder to explain demise. This was a team that was 64-18 a handful of years ago, and they had made and had a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals the year before that. So they've been at the top of the West for a while. Still 40, mid-40 win seasons the last couple of years. And then this year, not even sniffing the play-in tournament whatsoever with a 36-46 record. While some owners and general managers will hide and not give a lot of insight, and when they do, it's closed door, no recorders, Matt Ishbia did talk to the media today, the owner of the Phoenix Suns. Now, a year ago, he had talked to the media and said, when you take everything we've got, our assets, our players, our coaching staff, our trainers, our front office, future draft picks, when you take everything we got, there's probably 26 teams that would trade organization for organization. Well, that clearly is not true, or certainly would not be true anymore. And Ishbia, who has the owner, he's got to be front-facing and take responsibility, just flat-out said today that the season was an embarrassment.
Embarrassing season, right? Disappointed, awful. I watch every game like all of you guys do. No one's proud of it. No one's happy with it. From me to the front office, to the coaches, to the players, to the marketing executive, to the security guards, everyone's disappointed. Embarrassed, and it was a failure, right? We struggled. We didn't do a good enough job, and we got to do stuff different and change to be better. So there's no running from that. Obviously, I'm very disappointed. I think all of you guys are. It wasn't fun to watch.
So did not enjoy watching it and decided he wanted to make a change. The change that he made was firing Mike Budenholzer, who was 1 year higher, and he got a 5-year deal. Now, they had just done this. This was a former NBA winning coach, NBA Finals winning coach, that they signed to a long-term deal and then fired after 1 year. If that sounds familiar, it's because they did the exact same thing the year prior with Frank Vogel, who had won a championship with the Lakers, got fired, joined the Suns, got fired. Mike Budenholzer wins a title with the Bucks, gets fired, joins the Suns, and gets fired. Ishbia explained the reasoning with 4 years left on the contract, why it had to happen now.
The team and the roster that was constructed by James, Josh, the scouts, the front office is much better than a 36-win roster. So there's a lot of reasons why Coach Bud's not here. I'm not going to get to all those reasons, but definitely believe we should have won a lot more games and been a lot more competitive during those games as well. And so wish him the best, but it was the wrong coach for our organization and for that team. And at the end of the day, you know, you can blame me for it because, you know, I'm the owner at the end of the day.
Yeah, I suppose I'd like to hear some of those reasons, but that's cool. You just fire a coach after 1 year for the second time. You're going to be hiring your fourth head coach in 4 years. It's no big deal. It's just that you had a lot of expectations with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, who you are paying a bunch of money to. And the reporting that we've heard is that Bradley Beal did not want to play the Drew Holiday role that Mike Budenholzer suggested because Bradley Beal thinks it's 5 years ago and he is still the number one option on a team, even if they have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Now, Booker is going to be here a while, most likely. He's got 3 years left on his deal. Bradley Beal's got another before a player option, which a 33-year-old Bradley Beal, I don't know what kind of contract you're going to have to get to decline $57 million. We'll see about that. Kevin Durant, though, he could sign an extension, but that does not seem likely. This is a guy that then will be on an expiring contract, making $54 million a season. Is he going to want an extension with the trade? He's 36. Is he going to want to go somewhere as a hired assassin? I don't think that this is something that's going to happen midseason. They're going to look to move him offseason, and they're going to have to try to figure out how to go forward. The guy that they're going to have to go forward with is Devin Booker, who Ishbia says him and Booker are on the same page.
Devin Booker's an amazing player. He's been here longer than me, probably longer than most of us here, right? I think, he's a franchise player. He's done amazing things. I speak with him, and we're very aligned on what we want to do and what we're going to do. And his mission and my mission are very similar. Let's bring a championship to Phoenix. And he understands the vision and what we're going to do, and I understand his vision and how we're going to do it, and now we've got to go execute.
I don't know the way out for them either. Trading Kevin Durant is going to open things up, I guess. I'm not looking to build around Bradley Beal. He's got a no trade clause, however, so they can't really move on from that. One of the few guys in the history of the NBA to work that out. So, going to be tough, going to be challenging. They fired their head coach to do it. Sometimes, and this is an interesting thing to follow, sometimes teams lose in the postseason and there's optimism for the future. Remember, only one team can win. In the NFL, I think the Commanders were a great example of that. Okay, we've got optimism here, and we've got a path that we like that we can chart forward. With the Bulls, with the Kings, with the Suns, it's hard for me to feel optimistic about any of them and their fans and their fan bases going forward. But the offseason is always an interesting animal, and we'll see what will happen coming out of that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Oh, what about the offseason for the Dallas Mavericks, which has yet to even occur as they're playing for the 8th seed tomorrow night? We will talk with Mac Engel of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram to try to help us figure out what exactly is the end game with this franchise. We will find that out momentarily. Stick around. It is The Bart Winkler Show.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
I can't. Apologies. I owe a lot of apologies. It's Chuck Cooperstein, Mavs Radio, with the win last night in Sacramento, 120-106. You know, Nico Harrison deals Luka Doncic for way less than he should have, and I didn't see the vision. I didn't see the vision. They've got the opportunity to get the 8th seed and then play the Thunder. I'm sorry, Nico Harrison. You sure did outsmart me and everybody else, it seems is the case. Mac Engel, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joining us here on the Bart Winkler Show. Obviously, I am being facetious. This was the dumbest trade that has ever happened, and the fallout from it seems to be even dumber. Mac, so the only way that I think Nico Harrison ends up proving everybody wrong is if it's revealed after the fact that he traveled to the future, found out what happened with the scenario, came back and did it, and just has to wear it. Because it seems to me like he's a guy that knows he made the wrong decision, but now he's got to double, triple, quadruple down until I don't know when. People like that never seem to admit that they're wrong, Mac.
Well, I think what he did was basically sell the Mavericks' future for about a 2-year window. And that was pairing Anthony Davis with a healthy Kyrie Irving, putting them alongside Daniel Gafford, Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Derek Lively, and a couple other guys. That's a pretty good team. There's no way you can convince me this is a good trade. You just can't. But that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
And you can make an argument, and this is kind of a, you have to be a member of the Fantastic Four to do this. You can make an argument.
Trailer drop today, Nike. I like the reference.
You like that?
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll see a cut in a minute. But you can make an argument that's a really good team if they're healthy and they're on the floor, obviously. And when they played for a half, that's all they played together was a half. In Anthony Davis's first game here since the trade, and they looked great. They did. You're like, wow, that can be a team that's going to be a problem. It lasted a half. So now Kyrie Irving tears his ACL 1st of March. I don't care what anybody says. He's not going to be the same probably until 26, 27, right? He'll be back next season, say right. 9 months. He won't be the same guy. It'll be a minutes restriction. And then he's already 32 anyways. A lot of mileage on his legs. There's a very good chance that when he does come back, that he's not going to be the same guy. And it won't be his fault. Davis is the same age. He's had a lot of injuries. So now you're looking at an opportunity that was built on basically a 2 or 3 year window. Now it's really down to 1-ish. Because they're not going to win it at 35. They're just not. Meanwhile, the guy he traded is a top 3 player who's 25 years old. I think what they did was, one, I knew the GM was tired. I knew that.
Right.
I think most of us in town knew there was some friction there. We did. The only way he really wins this trade is if Luka Doncic gets hurt. And I do believe there was some thought, the way he plays, at the size that he plays, that he's going to get hurt. And I can buy that. I could also buy if the owner said, I'm not giving this guy the Supermax. I'm just not. At which point I would say, okay, I get it. It's a ton of money. It's your team. I mean, I get it. The two parts to this that bother me the most, one, you got so little in return for such a talent. He's only 25. And if you think he is going to age like James Harden, I've made a lot of comparisons between him and Harden because there are a lot. If you think he's going to age like Harden, then that means he has 3 to 4 prime MVP caliber years ahead of him before he falls off the cliff. And you gave him away for let's just be real clear. Anthony Davis is phenomenal. That's a great player. Top 75 all-time NBA player. Legit. Two-way dynamic player. Okay. You got him. You got Max Christie, who's probably a decent role player. And a first-round pick in 2029 for Luka Doncic. That, to me, is the biggest sin in all of this. Anything else is a judgment call. Fine. Subjective. Let history be the judge. To get that in return for that caliber of player is borderline criminal and professionally negligent. Hard stop.
Yeah, there's so many interesting things to it because I do like what I've been saying is, okay, if you were to like task somebody in a debate class, make the argument for the team that they have that is constructed, with Anthony Davis and, you know, Max Christie, I guess, but Gafford and Lively and these guys, Kyrie, you could argue that they would be a contender in the West. But to get to that point, you took this long window. You just made the finals last year, by the way. But you take this long window and you must think that this team is going to be so good and it's so much better than the other team that you're willing to sacrifice the future. And even within the trade, it's like Rob Pelinka took all the concerns that the Mavs had about the player, Luka, turned it against them, was able to negotiate the package down. And then if you do have a guy like this, like how do you, and you want, like if you have a guy like Luka Doncic and you want to trade him, how do you not make sure you find, you got to leave no stone unturned. Is this like in fantasy football when your buddy makes a trade and you're like, if I knew you wanted that guy traded, I would have given you way more for it. Why don't you explore? So there's, you know, you can see a justification angle, but then when you peer out, there's so many other things like how did this go down to begin with? So I understand everybody's frustrations trading Luka to begin with, but then also you did it in like the most offensive and idiotic, maybe lazy way that you could.
I can't disagree with any of it. Like the part that, first of all, I was like everybody else. I didn't believe it. And then the more, even this has been months later, even the more I talk about it, I still can't believe he did it. I can't. He didn't get Austin Reeves in return. How do you not get Austin Reeves? How do you not get one of the Lakers' white guys? I mean, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but I'm like, that's all you got? Look at what Minnesota sent to Utah for Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert's a nice player, defensive player of the year, twice, rebounding machine. They got like 10 first-round draft picks. And you got the Lakers number one in 2029 with Luka Doncic on that team. That's not going to be a lottery pick. That's going to be like the 22nd pick. I just can't get, and I know Mark Cuban, who does not have any involvement with the team decision-making wise anymore. He went on a local TV station and, you know, he was kind of nice about it. Obviously he thought he would never have signed off on it. And
right.
he did try to convince ownership at the 11th hour not to do it. But his biggest complaint was what I've talked about, was you just got so little in return. And I, you know, you, the team went to the finals last season and they beat really good teams to get there. And they beat a good Clippers roster. They beat a very good Oklahoma City team. They beat a very good Minnesota team. And then they ran into the Godzilla that was the Boston Celtics last season. Nobody was beating Boston. And I do understand, and I can justify the concerns that anybody would have about Luka Doncic as he gets older. I would. The only thing I'm thinking is, like, obviously Nico Harrison hated him. That's why he made him. Seriously. It had to have been personal. It had to have been. I'm like, this was the biggest middle finger to a superstar player. And every now and then, it doesn't happen often, but we saw here in this area a long time ago when the egos won and the team lost. And that's when Jerry Jones decided to fire Jimmy Johnson as the head coach. Okay, well, Jerry's ego won, team lost. And in this case, I think Nico's ego won and the team is ultimately, I mean, look at really what they're gambling on now. You're gambling that Anthony Davis can pair with Kyrie Irving for an extended period of good health and make a run to the finals. That's basically what you're gambling on. Great players, could happen. Would you bet on it? Probably not.
No, I mean, you took a comfortable situation and shortened it, and then the odds are even greater. And not only, as we talk with Mac Engel, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, not only that, you gave your middle finger to Luka, you gave it to the fans, you gave it to Dirk, who then shows up at Luka's first game in L.A., which is like, okay. I don't know how the fan, like the relationship between the team and the fans, it's always, I think, something that these owners and the franchises have to, you know, take, they have to feel like it's...
How do they,
I mean, when does this get repaired? Because it sounds like there's even more stuff that's going to come out that's going to be worse, that's going to piss off Mavs fans.
My friend, Tim McMahon, who I used to work alongside with at the Dallas Morning News, now he's at ESPN, does a great job covering the NBA, has a new book out on Luka Doncic, which includes a chapter about this trade. He came out and said something, and I imagine this is not going to be good, but it is something that has circulated quietly in this last year or so, which was Dirk's place in this organization is not what it used to be, and he's not much of a fan of it. Now, Mark Cuban sold the team, and the new ownership is not going to feel the loyalty to Dirk, obviously, the way he would. Nico Harrison, because he's been in basketball forever, would know Dirk, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have the relationship or loyalty to him the way Cuban did. And I've been here since 96. Nobody, and I mean nobody, in this town, this is a top four media market town now, nobody gets carte blanche and is revered as Dirk. Nobody. That includes Rangers, won a World Series. Dallas Stars, won a Stanley Cup. Dallas Cowboys, okay, we know what they are. None of them are as revered like Dirk. Spent his entire career and he won a championship, won an MVP. Great guy. And if they alienated him, that's going to be bad. Now, is it going to stop fans from going on a Tuesday night or a Saturday night to have fun at an NBA game? Maybe not. And meet with the Mavericks are gambling is that if we win, they'll get over it. And historically, that's proven to be right. That is proven to be right. But they really, I've never seen anything like this, ever. I have never, ever, I'm 51, I've watched, covered it, all that stuff. I've never seen a team alienate a fan base, like a good fan base too, like this one, never. I mean, the closest thing I can think of is when a team moves. They're that mad over this. Now, I'll say this, I want to make sure Jason Kidd, all the players on this team deserve a ton of credit. They have played their way through this mess without complaint. And that's been a lot of distractions. I wrote it today in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. With the exception of, I mean, they're in Phoenix Suns, Philadelphia Sixers neighborhood right now. That's how much of a mess this thing is. But the players and the coaching staff are the reason why they made the best of a very challenging situation. And I give all those guys credit.
Well, their season's they're still alive. They got the big dub last night. They're going to be in Memphis on Friday. So, you know, who knows? But at some point it will end, and then more stuff will come out, and then it's going to be a riveting offseason. Mac, appreciate your time. We will be in touch. Enjoy covering all the stuff that you are covering.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks a lot.
That's Mac Engel with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us to talk some Dallas Mavericks and get a little bit more insight into what is going on. Yeah, he referenced there could be more of a report with Dirk and his place in the organization. And I get it. Sometimes a new kind of regime comes in and they don't pay respects as much to the people before them. But there do need to be these threads. There do need to be the connective tissue between one regime and the next regime and then the next regime and the next regime. Because as fans, we don't go anywhere. You don't go anywhere. You go through new ownership changes. You go through logo changes. You go through GM changes, coaching changes, player changes. But if you're a Mavs fan now, you were a Mavs fan 35 years ago. You're the connective tissue. You would like there to be some connective tissue to kind of mirror back what you feel, but sometimes people come in and that's just not the case, and that's unfortunate. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll take a look at some of the best draft picks that have happened at the top of the board in our Bartometer tonight. Bulletin Blitz straight ahead. Right now, it is time for an update with Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Rodgers steps up, looks downfield, got a man in the end zone. The ball is picked off by Richard Sherman in the back of the end zone.
The biggest voices in sports.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get.
The heartbreak.
Signals being called. Here's the snap. High snap. Placement made. Kick end over end to the uprights, and it is good. The San Francisco 49ers advance.
The celebrations.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Yep, happy Thursday, everybody. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, only on the Infinity Sports Network. Bart, let's start over here, because we had a lot of Mavs conversation in this hour, a little bit of Suns, but we'll stay on the Mavs for now. Head coach Jason Kidd's coming off of the win over the Sacramento Kings last night in the play-in tournament in order for the Wright to become the 8th seed, only to get spanked by the Thunder. He said after the game that Anthony Davis was basically forgotten as a footnote in this trade, is a winner.
He's a leader. He's won it. We've said this over and over. He's won at every level. I've been with him in a play-in game situation. And so He had some good looks there that just didn't go down for him. But again, the positivity of him believing in his teammates and putting his teammates in a position to be successful was at a high.
I mean, if he was like a 25-year-old superstar in his own right, it would be a different story. If this was Anthony Davis 6 years ago and Nico Harrison just preferred the future of Anthony Davis rather than Luka Doncic, that'd be one thing. Completely different. Anthony Davis is a little older, but he is also, I mean, the name I saw that I like to say is Anthony Day to Davis. Guy's always hurt. Makes the trade, 2.5 quarters, he gets hurt. Tickets, by the way, for this game on Friday night, you can get in as low as $9.
Wow.
The average cost is $41 to get in. So Memphis not too enthralled either to see their guys go at it for a chance to get spanked by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Almost like I said that. All right, let's go to the losing side, because what a turnaround from the Sacramento Kings. We went from light the beam to just end the season. Ugh. They won the losing, obviously. It was just the Chicago Bulls West is how they attempted to be competitive in the Western Conference. Obviously, didn't work out. So they fired their general manager, Monty McNair. The search is on. Maybe Calvin Booth. You know, there are a couple of names that will be floating out there. Scott Perry could be another one. But one guy hoping to keep his job in a more permanent basis was interim head coach Doug Christie. He says he really, 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 really wants to stay.
This is where I want to be. I think you guys know that. I need to finish what I started. And that's the only reason that I ever even stepped onto the sideline from where I was at initially, because I had to exercise some demons for myself.
I'm not really sure what the options are going to be. Obviously, there's a couple of guys, Taylor Jenkins and Michael Malone, that were just fired from their respective teams. I'm not sure of any hot coaching prospects that are circulating out there that are waiting to get their head start. It'll be interesting to see if the Kings do go a different direction. The big splash they made a couple years ago, Mike Brown, they then soured on that probably prematurely.
Yeah.
But these coaches aren't getting a long leash anymore. I mean, to have two coaches fired a month before the playoffs, and then to have Bud get the 5-year deal and just see one of it. If you're gonna hire a coach, I think a lot of these people are looking for miracle workers. Hire a guy to come in, establish something, build a system. They've got a guy there in Christie. We'll see if that's the direction that they want to go. But when you keep changing GM and coach, and that's the thing, if you fire your GM, new GM come in, he'll probably want his own guy. So I don't know if the future sounds great for Dougie C.
Yeah, not so much in the front office, obviously, you know, Cannon, the GM, not so much in the coaching staff, because we don't know what direction going to go there, as well as the roster. Normally, I don't play two cuts from the same, you know, team story, but this one's pretty quick. Domantas Sabonis, what does the team need more than anything else?
The biggest thing is we need a point guard, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. he's looking at the roster. He's like, please, let's get someone in here to give me the ball. But a three-second answer. So I thought that was very appropriate.
They had one in Tyrese Halliburton, but that's who they traded for Sabonis.
Makes no sense.
And Keon Ellis has been playing well. I guess not well enough.
I guess. Sorry. I mean, what an indictment. But all right, let's go to the Eastern Conference. Your Bucks. They will be playing their first game. They get the early tip on Saturday against the Pacers with Tyrese Halliburton on that team now. Doc Rivers giving an update on a potential returning superstar.
Probably about 24 hours. Been great. All great news. We didn't go a lot live today, but he was in practice throughout practice today. You know, now we just got to see where he's at physically. It's going to take a minute.
Damian Lillard, right away. I was waiting for him to say the name.
Damian Lillard cleared for basketball activities. Still will not be in game one, but I don't know if it's game two, game three, game four. Bucks playoff runs the last few years have been really excruciating because we're just waiting for the team to be fully healthy. And now, get this, the Bucks won 8 in a row going into the playoffs. So some Bucks fans are like, is he going to ruin our chemistry? You got to get at least one healthy postseason out of Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo to know what it looks like. Because if the Bucks do get bounced in the first round or have a really bad showing even with a win and then in the second round, they may have to move on from Dame. So you want to at least know what your team looks like before you shake up your team. So encouraged to see that he may be coming back soon.
All right, let's get one last one in here to wrap up the Blitz today on this Thursday. Let's go to the NFL because it would be a war crime if I don't bring the NFL into every conversation that we do. Here is Vikings general manager Kwesi Adofo-Mensa. He's at pick number 24. And someone asked him, hey, you guys going to trade down?
Right now, at this point in the draft, we try and make sure our board is correct in terms of how we view things. You got to prepare yourself. You're picking 24th. You better be able to call 24 and have 24 names that you're willing to stand up and clap and feel great about. So that's the first and foremost and the foundation of how we build this thing. The trades and all those things, scenarios, they come.
They've only got four picks overall. There's been no first-round pick that's been traded yet. This seems to be the most likely one to get traded. No, I think there's going to be some trades potentially, but this one seems to be the one that's almost guaranteed to be traded. I think Vikings fans, if they're having a draft watch party, they would be, they're just waiting for the trade and then maybe go to bed. The number one overall pick will not get traded. That's going to be Cam Ward to Tennessee. Where will it rank in the last 40 years of number one picks? The Bartometer, coming up next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.